Hey y'all, it's your girl Geneva Jewel on the She's Equipped podcast on Anchor FM. And this continues to be the place for women who are looking for good conversations and lessons from other equipped women who will help us renew our minds, transform our lives, and prosper into our own wealth. Today's guest is Dr. Sherita Weatherspoon. She is a profit strategist, a business accelerator, publisher, and speaker. She helps women launch and grow six-figure businesses so that they can have the impact, income, and independence they desire without the overwhelm and being overworked. So good morning. Well, I'm going to call you Sherita because she doesn't like it when I call her doctor, miss, ma'am. So I'm just going to say good morning to Sherita, and how are you doing today?
Good morning. I am doing great today. I'm excited to be here and have this conversation with you.
Good. Very good. I'm excited too. We're going to talk about her podcast as well in a little bit, but I was on Sherita's podcast for women who launch and lead a couple weeks ago. And now it's actually good to flip the switch, I think, for me, because I have definitely some business questions. to get answered, and also just to see, you know, how she got started. So I'll give you ladies a little bit of a background. Dr. Sherita and I go to the same church, and that is how I've known her, or we have gotten connected. I'm pretty sure through Facebook or some other business avenue we probably would have connected anyway if I wasn't at Seeds, but that is how I know her. So we're going to talk about today her coaching business, how she got started. And then the one thing that I'm also interested in besides the podcast is getting over the superwoman syndrome. So let's do superwoman, because, you know, it's a Saturday morning and I'm pretty sure a lot of the women who are listening may be, you know, mothers, they're single, and we try to tackle everything all at once. What is the superwoman syndrome? I guess I should ask that first.
Well, the superwoman syndrome is this, it's a belief, and then it's the actions that follow the belief around us doing everything and being everything and doing it all well and looking good while we're doing it. And in the midst of all of that, we find ourselves, you know, losing ourselves and not going after the things that we really want. And there are, you know, there's some women out here touting, you know, be a superwoman, be a superwoman, but that really should not be your goal. You know, this taking this stance of self-sacrifice for everybody else and putting yourself in harm's way for everybody else. Yeah. My stance is to identify and own your power, your own power, and step into that, whatever that is for you. And that may absolutely mean that other people have to make some sacrifices for you instead of you always being the person making sacrifices. It means you're going to say no sometimes or more often. It means that you're going to delegate some of the responsibilities that, you know, you've taken on. Either you've been asked or you just picked them up because you could do it, and that you're starting to put yourself first. And not necessarily all the time, because we know, you know, if we're wives and we're mothers, we can't always be first, but we certainly shouldn't always be last. And we shouldn't be putting our dreams and our goals on hold so everyone else can move forward.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So the one thing you said, self-sacrifice for everyone. And I think as a single mother, to start out, that's like a number one thing, because if you're by yourself and you're doing everything, going grocery shopping, picking the kids up from daycare, you know, I can carry like 12 bags, a baby, and have a backpack on, because that's just, if it was raining, I had to get from the car to the apartment. So I had to, you know, improvise. And then I'm like, why, my kids, why can't y'all carry more than two bags? Like, so yeah. I think we sometimes are maybe conditioned for a while to to be the one who sacrifices the most. And so how do you have any tips on how to, because sometimes it's hard, like you don't want to, or you feel, it feels weird, I would say, to do something for yourself instead of doing for others first. And I think it can, I think the tables, even with marriage now, I'm learning, or I had to learn, my husband would say to me when he was carrying the groceries, like, you don't always have to do that. Tell your son to get the groceries, you know, and I'll pick up the bags. But you have to be, like, retaught. You have to, you learn how to let someone else take the lead instead of you leading all the time.
Exactly. Exactly. So it is really about changing how you think about things and seeing your worth and value ultimately is what it boils down to. That you've got to recognize that you are just as worthy as anyone else to have the things that you desire, to do the things that you want to do, and that there is no harm in you choosing you every now and then, although I think it should be more than every now and then. And every time you choose yourself, it doesn't mean that someone else has to suffer. It just means that things shift a little bit. And I actually like your example with the groceries, because at certain points in my marriage, my husband was away in the military, and it would be me and first two kids and then three kids, and then four kids, right? And there were just things that I had to do. And we've gotten to this point in the last few years. I think 2016 was just a major shift for me in all areas of my life. And I don't bring a grocery bag in the house now unless there is no one else home.
No one else home. I love it.
Well, actually, now my husband is doing the grocery shopping because I haven't been going out. But when I go grocery shopping, I park in the driveway and I go in the house and I say, there's food in a truck. And they go get it. I don't do that. I mean, it's just certain things I refuse to do anymore. There are enough people in my house.
Yes.
I don't have to.
Do it. And you know what? I said to the kids, so being home with COVID, so everybody's home. The kids are home from school. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a 1-year-old and then we get ready to have baby number 4. So I'm about to be where you are. My husband works 5 days a week. He works sometimes on the weekend and his hours are in the middle of the day. So putting the baby to sleep is on me. The kids want to play and things like that. And I told them the other day, I was like, you know what? I don't think it's fair that I work 40 hours a week for someone else running my own business. And then I sacrifice for you all and y'all, you know, when you walk past things, you don't pick them up or something's coming and you give me a huff or a puff. So I like that. Like, you know, park the truck. And when it's time, when I go to the grocery, I don't go to the grocery store either much. They don't let me, they may let me out. But when he comes home, like my husband doesn't play. He's an Islander, so he's Jamaican. So none of the stuff that we do or any of the stuff that I would allow, like he's just very, nope, my son needs to do that. Like, cause he's the oldest, like boys do certain things and that's just, I help your mom and you learn from me, but I'm definitely going to put that into practice. I'm pulling the car up and it's enough people in my house for y'all to come get these groceries. And you know, for the listeners, I know some people may think, oh, that's just small. No, it's not. Because when my son becomes somebody else's husband, I don't want him sitting in the house and the wife is bringing in the groceries. Cause he's not coming. Once you get them, you got them.
Exactly.
The good thing too, getting over the superwoman syndrome also helps us raise our children well. I definitely think that.
Yes. Now that's an excellent point, because that was one of the things that helped me make the shift. I really had to think about what I was teaching my children.
Yeah.
And I recognized that I was teaching my daughter that, you know, yeah, go for what you want. Go for what you want until you get married.
Yep.
And then once you get married, just set all of those dreams and everything aside and just stay in your, you know, your little bubble and your little box and make sure everybody else is happy. And that was not the life that I wanted for her. Yeah. And I was also teaching my sons to expect that of their wives.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, those were probably the biggest things outside of just my own emotional stress and ultimately physical distress that caused me to shift. Because, you know, I don't want to teach my kids to do this. I can't tell them to go after everything you want But then, you know, once you're in this relationship, things shift. And I don't, and when I say that, I'm not saying that, you know, my husband pushed me into anything or forced me to behave a certain way. Then he was just going with the flow.
Exactly. You know,
whatever I allowed, he assumed I was cool with, right?
Yes. It happened, you know, and you are right. And it affects our daughters as well. So if we're in the same boat. I have three boys and one daughter. And I think to just realize and to teach her self-care, because if mom's not doing self-care, when she becomes a mother, she's not going to even think about going to get her nails done or her, and she's a girly girl. So I don't want my, the things that I'm not doing at the moment to affect her in the long run. So that's, that was a, definitely a schooling moment for me. This superwoman syndrome, it spills over to everything.
It does.
It spills over into everything. So we're going to, I'm sure Dr. Look at here. I'm sure Sharita has different things that she can offer us. And we will talk about that towards the end of the podcast, because that superwoman syndrome, I need some tips for that. So you just mentioned, before we go to the break, I just want to make, you mentioned in 2016 that some things had, you know, changed for you. So when did you, as far as when you started business, so how long have you been in business, like the name of your business? And like, did things shift as far as going full-time in business in 2016, or what happened then for you?
Yes, so I was dibbling and dabbling in entrepreneurship over the years. I always knew that I would own my own business, but to be quite frank, I was fearful. I wasn't willing to take the steps that I knew I should have been taking. So that, you know, brought me to 2016 in a job that I was miserable in, and I stayed in longer than I should have. And I knew that. I knew that I did. And the last year I was there was total hell, to be quite honest. And then I was laid off. They were downsizing, and I had to make a decision on whether I was going for another position or whether I was going to bet on myself. And I chose to bet on myself and went full time into entrepreneurship. So my company is SpoonFit Motivation LLC. Okay. I have two brands under that company. I have SpoonFit Motivation Publications, where I help authors get their messages into the marketplace through done-for-you publishing services, with a specialization in anthology project management. And primarily working with people writing nonfiction, personal development, spiritual development, and business growth and development. And then on the coaching side is Powerhouse Coaching, and that's where I work with women, mostly one-on-one now, but I'm kind of transitioning to do more group things and helping them to identify their power, determine the problem they're going to solve, package it, price it, prepare to launch so they can profit, because I believe there's profit in your purpose.
Okay, that's good. So I'm just share, you will air, we're gonna, this will be in July, but my so what you just said is actually basically what's happening in my future. So we got a notification or some news, you know, that because of COVID things are downsizing, and the same, you know, that's the same thing, you know, getting ready to happen in our area. And there is a little bit of fear there. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, what if you, I don't want to say what if you don't, I guess let's say that. What if you don't have a choice? Like, what if you don't want to go back to work? What if you, not work, I want to say it this way. What if you don't want to go back to the job that you're working at because you're miserable and the only other choice is entrepreneurship? So we're going to talk about that when we get back, and we're going to take a quick break. Hey y'all, it's your girl Geneva Jewel, and we are back on the She's Equipped podcast. We just took a quick break, and we started to talk about in 2016 when Sharita started her business. And she was letting us know that the year prior, like, she knew she wanted to get out of her her current job because it wasn't really working out for her. It wasn't really working out for her. And I just asked her to give us some tips on how to get over the fear. And I don't want to say get over it, because fear will come, but how do we not, like, let it linger? So for you, Sharita, because you have a family, right? You already let us know that you have four children. I'm pretty sure, you know, you guys live in a home. Your husband is there as well. So how did you, with all of that thinking, I got kids, you know, they are in school, you know, how are we going to, like, how did you transition that fear? Like, how did you put it somewhere else? Did you, like, how did you step on out and start, you know, Spoon-Fed Motivation and then the Powerhouse Coaching? How did you do that?
Well, the fear was there without a doubt. I just had to move through it.
Okay.
And as I moved, you know, there would be times when the fear was at a lower level and then times when it was at a higher level. I just had to keep moving. Okay. The thing is, fear is really faith. It's just faith in something negative versus faith in something positive, right? So you're believing in something.
Okay.
And what you have to choose to do, mm-hmm, is make the decision on what you're going to believe in, right? So I had enough belief that, like, I could do this. I knew I had the skill set. That wasn't the question, because I had been, you know, I had been coached, I had been in programs and all of that. Like, I had a lot of knowledge, I had a lot of skill set. I just had to do, you know. So I did. And every time I took action, I would see something come from that. Mm-hmm. So that would allow the fear, you know, to dissipate at times. And then, you know, you'll face new challenges or new situations, things that you haven't experienced before, mm-hmm, and the fear will come up again. But I've decided that what I want is more important than the possibility of failure.
Yes.
Okay. And I recognize that everything that I desire is on the other side of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So do I still experience fear today? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Does it stop me from moving? No, it doesn't. Sometimes it slows me down, but mm-hmm, it doesn't stop me. And I think that's the importance of having some sort of support. And friends are great, but sometimes friends can't relate.
Exactly.
So I believe in having a coach. Mm-hmm. I am a quote unquote coach, but I have multiple coaches for different reasons. And it helps me to move through the fear. It helps me to get the clarity that I need. And I would say, going back to your question about, you know, that person who's kind of in that situation where they don't want to go back to work, they want to start a business, not sure what to do, how to do, and they have fear, to hire a coach early.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because what a coach will help you do is get clarity more quickly. And that saves you time. And it doesn't mean that, you know, a year or 2 years later, you may not have to pivot a little bit, because I think as you do, you gain more clarity. But I think I lost a lot of time in getting to where I was really supposed to be, because initially I didn't have a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So my business started off doing, like, consulting work. So, you know, I'm a certified grant writer. I was writing grants, evaluating grants, doing some corporate training, and all of that, which are things I could do and do well, but I quickly realized this is not what I want to do. This is not what I want to do. So let's see. So then it was, you know, life coaching, which wasn't bad, but it was still, I just knew something was missing. That wasn't quite it either. So that's when I decided to hire my first coach, and that helped me to, you know, really, not, I would even say clarity. It helped me to be honest about what I wanted.
What you wanted. Okay. Because I think too, when you're trying to start a business, right? And we talked about this on Women Who Launch and Lead. And I was saying that, you know, I didn't want my business. So this was, I think the book came out 2017. My devotional. So 2017 to now is 2020. So still 3 years. And like you said, get a coach in the beginning. So I think, I'll say it this way, as an African-American woman, I don't want to be the one who's just, now we can have small businesses. I love small businesses and things like that. But I think our thoughts are limited when we when we don't have someone who you can, or they can prove legitly, you know, that I have this business, I'm successful in different areas, because then we're in a box. So I'm only on, you know, I'm only online, I'm only on Instagram, but I haven't branched out to the government. Like, I haven't branched out to teaching corporations, and we can do that. Mm-hmm. But like you said, you need to get a coach, even if it's a, you know, even if you go to a conference, or, you know, even if you go to something where people are doing things that you want to do and you haven't gotten there yet, because you can use their tips. You don't have to, if you don't have the money to spend $2,000 on a coach, you know, you don't have to do that in the beginning, but you should get the knowledge, because like you said, your time is, you can get it back. I believe the Lord will restore, but your time is valuable, and it could be wasted if you're talking to your friends who are not running their own business, or you listening to, you know, somebody who hasn't, you know, done anything outside of, you know, their own city. We have to expand our thinking so that our businesses will grow. And I definitely believe in, when you mentioned that about the coach, I think now, because I have a, you know, a business coach, it's kind of the same thing for me. My mindset is shifting on different things that I didn't know about, because nobody in my family has their own business. I don't, you know, I was just thinking, you know, I'm gonna write this book, I'm gonna have, you know, certain followers, but I was definitely limiting myself into a box. Mm-hmm. And that's a very good thing. So with your coaching, and, you know, in the business, how do you, what would you say as far as tips on how do you pick which coach you want? Because, you know, it could be very, if you're a single mother and you don't have a lot of funds, you know, then it's like, well, forget it. I'm going to stop. You know, I'll come back to it. And then there's always something, like you said, there's always something that's missing. Every time I tried to stop and start my business, it was something missing.
Right.
And I could feel it.
So I would say if you legitimately don't have the funds, and I use the word legitimately intentionally, because a lot of times, you know, working with clients, you know, you get objections, and a lot of times it's the money objection. Yeah. But people and organizations, they spend their money where they want to spend their money.
You're absolutely right.
Whatever is important to them, that's what they're going to put their money to. So, you know, a lot of times it really boils down to whether or not they really see the need for the help that you're offering, or whether or not you clearly communicated that you can solve their problem.
Got it.
Right. Okay. So, like, one of those two things. Mm-hmm. But if you really just don't have the money, as in, I'm not sure how I'm going to pay my rent, you know, that kind of situation, then you need to know what it is that you want to work on. Mm-hmm. Don't try to do a multitude of things. What is the one thing you need to be doing now? Exactly. Find someone who has expertise in that, because everyone has free information out there. Okay. And you go through every piece of free content that person has to offer on that topic.
Exactly.
Okay. And I'm saying a single person versus YouTube University, mm-hmm. because you don't want to try to blend together different ideas and concepts and ways of doing things from multiple different people, because it's not going to work.
It won't work. You're right. And it's going to be, you want to be consistent.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's where you get your clarity, obviously. But it's easier said than done. Okay.
Yeah.
So that definitely makes sense. So with your coaching business, Sharita, so Powerhouse Coaching is the coaching business. So what type of women do you, I know you said it was, I got my notes here. It was, you know, they want to identify their power. You want to package what they're doing. So could your women, if they want to be a life coach, or if they, does it matter what they want to go into as far as the Powerhouse Coaching, or do you help bring clarity to whatever they're trying to start?
So I do both. I help them clarify. I specifically, as a business coach, like, I'm working with women, and I would describe them as purpose aligned or impact inspired women. So they're not just in business because they're trying to make some money.
Okay.
They're really trying to make a difference. They're trying to do the work they were called to do, and they want to profit while they're doing that. Okay. And they are typically seeking to be coaches, trainers, consultants, speakers, or authors.
Got it. Okay. So that's really good to know. So if you're looking to be a coach, if you're looking to be a trainer, and you're looking to be an author, you know, you could get some powerhouse coaching with Dr. Sherita. And the other thing I want to talk about too, so again, because the podcast, I want women to be able to hear from women who have done it, you know, and hear from women who are equipped and know that, like, because it gives me inspiration to know that, you know, a mom of four, you know, has her doctorate degree, she's running her own business. One of the things I want to ask you before we go on our next break, and then we're going to talk about the women who launch and lead. How do you get through days where there may be overwhelmed? So for me right now, it's the last 2 months of my pregnancy. Some days I just want to sleep, you know, and I have a answer that I'll share at the end, but I just want to get a tip from you, because you are a powerhouse woman. You have a family, you know, your children are thriving, but how do you get through the days where it feels like they driving you nuts? You just want to take a moment and you're like, I'm trying to build this business. I'm trying to do everything and things like that. And I don't want to be superwoman today. How do you pause through those moments and not, or how did you pause through those moments and not give up?
So pause is a good word. you have to pause. You have to take a breath, you know, kind of calm your emotions before you respond, first of all. But I think you try to avoid those situations as much as possible by planning ahead of time. Good. So know what it is that you want to accomplish during the week. I say, you know, well, really, first start off with the month, right? And kind of like, what do we focus on this month? By the end of the month, what do I want to have accomplished? And then break that down by the week. And then each week, you're going to break down what you're going to do on, you know, on those days. And making sure you don't have 30 things on your to-do list for a single day.
Yes.
Now, let's be realistic here. Let's be practical. Because sometimes we set ourselves up to be overwhelmed to fail because we're trying to be superwoman. We're trying to do it all, you know? So one, you know, if you're working at home, you know, maybe you have kids who are still doing online school, whatever the case may be, you know, it's not normal, right?
Yes.
Plan for that. Plan for that. So, you know, if you got to work for an hour, 90 minutes, and then step away for 30 minutes and go do some things with your family. But again, you know, you don't have to be the one cooking lunch. If there's somebody else in the house old enough to do it, or somebody old enough who can make some sandwiches, even if you don't want them using the stove, you know, give them some things to do. Like, don't just, if you leave them to their own devices, they're going to be knocking on your door. They're going to be making a whole lot of noise. So do some planning for them. You know, if you have a partner, a husband, bring them into the process, help you plan what's going to happen, figure out what they're going to do when they come home. You know, let them kind of break from their day. But if you know there's something that you have to get done that you didn't get done, that I'm going to need you to take care of them for an hour while I finish this up, you know? So a lot of it boils down to planning and communicating what you need and how people can help you.
And communicating. Yep. I love that. All right. So when we come back, we're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about planning, and we're going to talk about how you manage the Women Who Launch and Lead podcast and the anthology for the young women that is coming out this year, right? It's coming out. Okay. All right. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the She's Equipped podcast on Anchor FM. This continues to be the place for women who are looking for good conversations and lessons from other equipped women who will help us renew our minds, transform our lives, and prosper into our own wealth. So, before the last break, we were talking to Dr. Sherita about planning ahead of time. And with us being at home, ladies, with our children, if you have children, or just starting out in a business, or you have, even if you have children who are grown, you know, we sometimes tend to put too much on our plates. And one of the things that Sharita mentioned was, you know, planning out for the month, writing down on a calendar, if maybe you use your phone, that is a good way for me to track what's going on for the month. And then she said, make sure that you do it weekly and then daily. So the one good thing for me was making sure that I don't put 30 things on my to-do list, and then communicating what we need to do as a family. And then also like with your partner, so that they know, and you know, you're not looking at them upset because you didn't even tell them what you needed for them to help you with. So I mentioned to her before we went on the break that we were going to talk about how she plans, or how she has been managing, the Women Who Launch and Lead podcast, and then the anthology that's coming out this year called Love Letters to My Girls. So how, let's say, did you know before you did the anthology, or before, you know, it started, did you know that you were going to do both in the same year, or how did that happen?
So I had been wanting to do a podcast for a couple of years, and that was one of those fear things slowed me down. Uh-huh. And I decided last year that I was going to do it this year.
Okay.
In November, I got a divine download about the book project and took immediate action on it. Right. So that was, we were going on that in December. That's when that all started.
Yes.
And I said, okay, I wanted to launch the podcast in January, and I recognized I needed to push it back a bit. So I did. So, you know, we launched in April. Okay. But I, you know, and this was one of the things where my husband was like, you're going to do both of those things and mm-hmm. your business, right? Like, you're going to do the other things you do too. And I just said yes. And what I ended up doing with the podcast, because of course the anthology project is, it's a longer term yes. kind of thing. Okay. Whereas the podcast I'm doing in seasons.
Okay.
So my original plan with the podcast was to, you know, maybe this week I'd be recording the episode that's coming up the next week and mm-hmm. just do it that way. And then I said, you know what, that's not going to work.
It's too much.
So I literally blocked out a 3-week period. Mm-hmm. I think it Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays, mm-hmm. and set up my calendar, scheduled all of my interviews, mm-hmm. got them recorded. The next week, got them edited. Everything is uploaded and scheduled to post when it's supposed to, through mid-August for season one.
Yep.
So it took me, you know, about a month pretty much to get season one done. Okay. And that worked for me. And I did not have to only do the podcast during those 4 weeks. I was still able to do other things because I had designated days that I worked on those things. So on those days I wasn't working on the anthology project, I wasn't coaching and doing all of the stuff I do behind the scenes. So that's how I did that. And that's how I'm moving forward. I think what I'll do next time though, is I did like my own editing and all of that, mm-hmm. simply because like, I know how to do it. So I just did it. But I would like to, you know, bring somebody onto my team to help with that next time. Mm-hmm. But you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and I think too, the one thing I'll give a tip on for ladies who are trying to, let's say you're trying to start your own podcast, one, just do it. I mean, there's really, I don't want to say just do, if you're going to do it, obviously be consistent. But one of the previous podcasts is with Tanera, we were talking about comparison. And she said, you know, that's not something that I do. I take, you know, key things from other people that I see, and then those things that I want to model after, or those things. So when I think about recording a podcast, so mine, you know, it's different. You have different time available for you and that work for you. But the way it is for me, I'm not saying, oh, well, she did this and she got everything down. Like as a woman, and I think just as a human being, when you hear what other people are doing, don't take it as, oh, I don't have 3 days to, you know, record my podcast. Take it as, you know, what day of the week can I record? You know, how are we going to get these things uploaded? Because the point of podcast or the point of information that we give here on the She's Equipped podcast is not for you to become overwhelmed. It's right. always for you to take something and say, how can I make this work in my life? Because if one person can do it, I know that I can, but I have to do it in my own lane. Because we can't be Sharita. She's the only one. Nobody else can be me. So mm-hmm. you want to make sure that when you hear things from other people who are successful, it didn't always start out like, you know, I got this down and every day is going to be perfect, because it's not. Things change, things happen. And I just want you ladies to be inspired to at least put one foot in front of the other. You know, mm-hmm. look up Anchor. Look up how to put a podcast on Apple so that you're not slowing down yourself with the fear. Because like you mentioned, you know, fear is faith in something. And right. you don't want to have faith in a negative thought. Well, you know, I can't do that because I don't have 3 days. You may not, but at least you have one. If right. you have 45 minutes, you can record a podcast in one day. So, mm-hmm. you know, just making sure we don't let fear overwhelm us. So, the love letters to my girls. Can you let us know what that is about? Is it more than 100 authors or is it 100 authors?
It is more than 100. So it's Love Letters to My Girls, 100 plus Black Women Speak to the Hearts of Black Women and Girls. So we have, I think it's 118 Black women and girls who have come together to write this wonderful book of love letters that is just designed to inspire, uplift, motivate, and encourage Black women and girls around the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited about the project itself. I think the book is going to be wonderful and beautiful and like a legacy piece that mothers will want to give to their daughters who will then give to their daughters, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But more than just, you know, we're making this awesome book and selling it, is that we are going to be doing some fundraising. We are partnering with the United Way of Delaware. So mm-hmm. people will be able to donate through United Way. So they get that tax benefit to help us fund a scholarship. Oh. Well, at least two scholarships, actually. I want to scholarship a woman under 21 and one over 21. Mm-hmm. And the funds will be able to be used for education, training, or business startup. Hopefully, we'll be able to do more than two, but I know I want to do at least two. And then they'll also be able to donate to support our donating books to organizations and groups and clubs that serve Black women and girls around the world. So it's more than just the book. We are really trying to have major impact in the lives of Black women and young girls, wherever we can find them, whoever we can get the book into their hands, so that they can see themselves for who they really are, not who society says they are and tries to make them believe they are. We want them to know that they are beautiful, they are powerful, they are strong yet vulnerable, they are brilliant, that they are lovable, that they deserve love, that they should love, and, you know, not to be afraid to fail, not to be afraid to start over, just, you know, all of those wonderful messages that are encapsulated in this book written by other women who know what it's like to exist in this world as a Black woman.
And I think too, that's a great point. So a podcast prior to yours, I spoke with she was a teen mother, but now she's almost done getting her doctorate as well. And we were talking about how sometimes how we start is definitely not how we end, and we don't want to let society's stigmas, especially on African-American women, single mothers, single women, women period, we don't want to let those things hinder us. And that was the reason, you know, everybody's podcast is different, the books are different, but when you mention, you know, leaving a legacy piece for your daughters, right? And for your granddaughters, to give that back to them, you know, giving scholarships for women over 21 and under 21, right? To start that business. Mm-hmm. Because again, like we said, sometimes you don't have that role model. Sometimes you don't have that vision of somebody else doing anything outside of staying in one city, living in the same neighborhood, you know, everybody has the same things, or we're doing the same things over. And I think the love letters to our girls is an amazing piece. Can you let us know how to get it, or like when it's coming out, or like what website we can follow to get some information on it?
Yes, so you can go to loveletterstomygirls.com and actually sign up to be on our list. We're sending out periodic emails to just keep people up to date with the project. We are expecting to launch the fundraising component sometime in June. So you'll be notified of that and how you can make those donations. We will start pre-sales of the book in August. And during that time, we're going to have some special packages available that will only be available during the pre-sale period. The book is expected to be available in the marketplace in November, early December.
Okay, got it. November, early December. And it's Love Letters to My Girls, T-O, not the number two, correct?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then now how can we, so look here, she didn't have, Woman Who Launched a Lead podcast, we didn't even really get to talk too much about that, but we can have her back on because definitely for season two. So Women Who Launched a Lead podcast, we also had the Powerhouse Coaching, and we already know that Dr. Sharita helps others too if you're thinking about starting your own anthology, because you have to be very, very organized, I'm pretty sure, to get all of the people in and things like that. So how can we reach you, like for your coaching or anything about book writing and things like that? How can they find you?
Okay, so you can find me on social media, Instagram and Facebook at Coach Sharita. And there you'll actually find my post about the podcast as well. So, you know, you want to be alerted when a new episode is up, or you can go to womenwholaunchandlead.com and subscribe for your favorite platform from that site. They can go to authorsuccessrx.com specifically for the publishing piece. And then, or just message me at Coach Sharita, because I'm actually in the process of building a new site. So everything is going to come together in one site within the next month or so. And that site will be SharitaWeatherspoon.com. But I have a wonderful gift for your aspiring or emerging women entrepreneurs, my Purposeful Business Management Kit that addresses a lot of the things we talked about today. And they can download that at no cost at powerhouseyou.com, powerhouseyou.com. But I would say if anyone, you know, just wants to connect with me, Facebook or Instagram at Coach Sharita is fine. They can schedule a call with me at coachmedrc.com. That's coachmedrc.com to get directly on my calendar. But yeah. So coaching, some for you publishing, anthology, project management, I got you.
All down here. So I have one last question. And ladies, so when the podcast is up, everything, all of the links and stuff will be there so that if you go on the platform, or if you're on your website or on your phone, you'll be able to click those links. So don't worry. I know we just gave you a lot of information. I meant to tell you this in the beginning, but I did not. So this is an off guard question, but in what area would you like to stay most equipped? So when you think about business, you think about your family, you think about life, what is your top area for you to stay equipped? What do you think you are? There's one place where you always have to, not always, but you want to make sure that area is on 10 or on 100. Like I have to stay sane in this area so that the other ones will flow.
At this point in my life, I would say that it is really about being true to myself. Mm-hmm. Knocking on the door of 50 You know, you know what's important and what's not. And I know that I cannot be my best self for anyone else if I'm not being my best self for me first. So my marriage health, my relationship with my children, all of that is dependent upon me feeling good about myself and being fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That is good, because no more superwoman syndrome. It all ties in. And like we mentioned earlier, consistency brings clarity. So everything that you mentioned is all, you know, coming back full circle with being equipped and being true to yourself. So I just want to thank you so much for being here with us today. Ladies, again, if you want to follow Dr. Sherita, please follow her on Facebook and Instagram at Coach Sherita. And her name is spelled C like Charles, H-E-R-I-T-A. The other websites will be listed for you as well on the podcast and on the website. But if you are looking to get your free download today for any of you ladies who want to be in business, don't forget to go to powerhouseyou.com and get the free digital download that Dr. Sherita has for the listeners on today's podcast. So again, my name is Geneva Jewel. I thank you all for joining us today on the She's Equipped podcast on Anchor FM, where each week I introduce you to a woman who is equipped in her own wisdom and shares her gems with us. Dr. Sherita and I talked about a myriad of things, but the one thing that stood out to me was the superwoman syndrome and how we need to realize that sometimes we are the priority and that we need to learn how to say no. Maybe not as often as we should, but at least learning how to put ourselves first so that we can be equipped to live and take care of our families. If you would like to be a guest on the She's Equipped podcast with Geneva Jewel, please send us an email to she'sequippedpodcast@gmail.com. Do not forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at GenevaJewel_, or subscribe to our blog at GenevaJewel.com. I thank you for listening, and please share this podcast with your circle of family and friends. Until next time, remember to walk in your wisdom, own your own worth, and create your own table. I'll see you next week. Have a good Saturday.